Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Amen. Let's pray and give thanks to our Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you guide and teach us in Christ Jesus to receive your word. Your word is what will mature us. It's what will teach us. Amen. In Christ Jesus. So how many of you know that you have to receive it? Nothing is free by itself. Now, I'll be touching on something. I want to touch the subject of honor, but in these next services. But I'll be touching on dishonor. You know that God is our source of wisdom, of understanding, of discernment. The grand majority of Christians in this country, perhaps in others, did you know that in this country, the grand majority of Christians, I'm going to use a saying, the Bible does not get in their way. You know what I mean with that? The average Christian here, and it seems as if in other countries as well, when they have a conversation, they don't know what the Bible says. Amen. For example, if something happens in the country that they live in their family, any area, they don't even know what the Bible says. They can't give advice to someone else with the Bible because they themselves don't know what the Bible says. Any decision that they take, in their majority, they take decisions. If you were to make an average, they just take a decision. They'll give you many, many reasons. They'll never mention the Bible and never say, oh, the Lord told me, I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking to me with these verses. He guided me here. Never. They don't know the grand majority of them. The grand majority of Christians. The grand majority of Christians don't read their Bible. Amen. Now, let's touch something on dishonor and cowardice, because they're both related. In Titus chapter 1, you know why I say this? So that we never stop giving honor to God, because dishonor is the contrary to giving honor. Now, before going to Titus, I'm going to share this with you very quickly. If God is your source of healing, for example, or your source of prosperity, or anything, and this is for everyone, not just you here, why is it then that many Christians are sick? Or they're in lack? Or with many problems? In this life, we'll always have problems. But there are some problems that you and I can be causing and giving place to the devil, or there are some problems where it's due to lack of giving honor to God. But you know what? First, let's go to 1 Samuel, reading this part here, and then I'll start explaining. So 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So on Saturday, I was in Tucson. We were studying the word there. And a faithful sister there, and I don't say it criticizing towards her. On the contrary, I say it recognizing that she was honest. I said this. There are many Christians who believe that because again, we've been taught for many years, God has blessed you through Christ, God has healed you, therefore God has honored you. And she said amen. And I like that she said that, because perhaps she was valiant enough to say, I was one of those. And I don't know how many other those who are here believe that way. Look, let's go to Revelations to show you something. Revelations chapter chapter 22, verse 12. Revelations 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is not if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation is by grace, not by works. But the reward, I'll use a synonym, the honor of God is through the works of faith that we do. Amen. It's by the works of faith towards God, the works of love here on this earth. That's our reward. How many of you understand that? So who remembers of this saying? I heard it. I perhaps heard it perhaps from my grandparents or one of my uncles. Let's see if who remembers this. When they would tell you, well, you did something, you didn't do something, and you gave them an excuse for something, and they would say, actions speak louder than words. Who remembers that? In English, actions speak louder than words. Who remembers of that saying? I haven't heard it very often recently, and I'll repeat it again. Actions speak louder than words. Just those words are the excuses that we give. And I like that saying, because not every single saying goes with the word, but this one does. Notice, actions speak louder. So your actions of love and not words. Words are just those excuses. Well, those actions here. Tell me in the verse that we're at, please. In 22 verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Now, what do you say if we say this? To honor. One thing is salvation through grace, and another thing is that the Lord gives you honor here on this earth. And again, this verse is still true. I will honor those who honor me in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, some examples of those people who I know for many years. They don't live here in Douglas, they live in another city. And one of them is still in the work of the Lord, the other one passed. But these two men pastored. One of them, to this day actually, still is very dedicated to his work. A man who him and his wife not only have placed money, have put money to this day in their church, but they've also been there, they've been faithful. And one time they sold a big property that they had to help with some of the expenses of the church and to pay for the church more. You need to be guided by God that a pastor can do that. That right. Nevertheless, you can be guided by God and disobey and not do so. Amen. Because what is guaranteed to that pastor if he pays that church off and then the people just leave? Do I explain myself? But this other man right now is in the world, or I think he already passed away a while ago. I don't remember if I heard correctly, but he was very bad, this other pastor. Why? Because he stopped honoring God. And God does not honor, God will not honor sin, he will not honor disobedience. Amen? Never confuse grace with honor. They're two very different things. Hallelujah. So we're there, 1 Samuel 2:30. Now let's go to Titus. We're going to see something because many times, as I said, there are pastors who dishonor God because they're fearful of criticism. They're scared of the people. You know what? When I say that they're scared of the people, as in, you know how a pastor can be scared of the people that they leave because they see every person as money. So some of them are not interested in the well-being and spiritual growth. So in Titus chapter 1, again, you have to follow me very, very carefully here because the principle is the same. Go to verse 7, please. Notice what it says. For a bishop must be blameless. Some could say, oh, well, the bishop. Well, continuing, did you know that the word bishop, I'll just say it this way. No, don't worry about, oh, don't look at the screen. It's not going to be there. Just listen. The word bishop comes from the Greek episkopo. Epi is for the Greek word over. And skopos comes from an objective, a vision. So in that sense, you and I are bishops of our children or of our family. Yes? We are bishops of what we do. We are supervisors of the things of God, of what God has entrusted us with. Not just a church, although it does apply. I make myself clear. Well, because for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Verse 8, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-control. So sober-minded just means one who is disciplined. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now look at 10. There are many insubordinate. Now, what does that word mean? Insubordinate. Well, an insubordinate is those who continue to live in error. Those who Christians, are those who I just mentioned, those who make their own decisions and not know what the Bible says. Insubordinate also means foolish or rebellious. But translated as rebellious to the word, rebellious to whomever. Now, in the New Living Translation, for there are many rebellious, there we go, people who engage in useless talk and deceive others. This is especially true of those who insist of circumcision for salvation. But the principle is the same. There are many rebellious people who engage in useless talk and deceive others. Can you see it? New International Version? For there are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deception. And you can apply it for today. Amen. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. So what do these people do? Do you know what these people do? They bring dishonor to their homes, type of Christians. They don't give honor to their churches, if it is that they're in one, to their families. You and I do not want to be any of those. Someone say amen. I said someone say amen. We don't have to be one of those. Now, Revelation. Chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, and what? Unbelieving. Now this word cowardice or coward, you'll find it very few times in the Bible, but it's the same Greek word. Now focus on the screen. I gave them that word, I believe, in the Greek. Notice this. Coward comes from fear or dread, unfaithful or without faith, or fearful. A characteristic of someone, the cowardice, is a person whom you cannot trust. Now, think about this. If God cannot trust in that person, come back to me, please, for a little bit. If God cannot trust in a person, do you think that another believer will trust in that person? Do you see how it has nothing to do with grace? Neither with love. I can love someone, but I can't trust them. I don't necessarily have to trust them because I love them, because they're my brother in Christ or sister in Christ. Amen. Trust is something that has to be gained. Amen. Therefore, if you want to give honor to God, you learn to honor God, God will give you honor back, and part of that honor is wisdom, discernment in your life, understanding things with the Word of God, not your ideas. From the moment that we are born, our ideas, what we assume, what we think, is no longer matters. The amount of years that I've pastored, having opportunities to speak with people and also traveling when preaching, I always ask, where is that in the Bible which you share with me? And the majority say, I don't know. I don't know if it's in the Bible. But where is in the Bible? The majority of the Christian has a talk with people in their jobs. And, you know, the Christian in this case will always lower and speak the same as a person from the world. And that is very sad. Because there's anointing in your words. Never try to win over or argue with someone without the Word of God. Amen. Now again, verse 8. I'm going to stay with the first part, which says, but the cowardly and unbelieving. Again, help me with that word there, with the Greek. That Greek word, coward. One of the definitions comes from a fearful person. Remember how it says that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear or of cowardice. Now, it's an adjective here which qualifies. It qualifies the condition of someone who is cowardice, an unfaithful person, a person without faith, or is a fearful person. Unfaithful, without faith, and fearful. Now, years ago, a person who was here, a member from here, I'll give you an example of cowardice, left me a letter of about two, three pages, telling me all of his point of view and why I was wrong. There was neither Bible, they were all just lies, and that's a cowardice person, because a person who has something goes and tells you. I didn't say that they go and fight against you. I said it goes and tells you as a brother in Christ. Nowadays, they're no longer letters. It's social media. Don't do that. Don't embarrass ourselves in front of the world. That's a terrible example to give. Now, dishonor. Let's see how dishonor and unbeliever is associated. Matthew 8. And that's something that I learned many years ago. It's either I give honor to God or honor to people. And I saw that everything that I have this day has been by God. Therefore, I own the people nothing but to love them. Romans 8. No, not to read the whole story. Matthew 8:28. Now, 8:26, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Now, I hope all of you are mature enough to this point. I said in our past sessions, if you are born again, you have the faith of Jesus. One thing is to have it. Do you have your phone with you? Could I borrow it, please? Just like that. I'm not gonna. Don't open it or anything. Suppose that hamster here tells me, Pastor, I'm gonna give you this phone, and it's yours. It's for you. It's yours. You use it. It's mine, but you use it as if it were yours. He gives me all the passwords and everything, and I put it here in the back of my pocket, and I have it here. And then, over time, oh man, I gotta make a phone call. Oh, I gotta send a text to so-and-so. Or I gotta call Nubia. I gotta let her know about something. And then I'm looking, hey, can I borrow your phone? Or because there's no longer public phones like before, right? Okay, can I borrow your cell phone? You know what? I have one right here. What's so good to have it here? Well, nothing. Because I'm not using it. Thank you. Thank you, love. Now, that's how it is. Many Christians, by virtue of being born again, they have all the faith in them, but they don't use it. It's as if they didn't have it. Or it's as if they had little faith. Notice what he said. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Very interesting. Now, go to Mark. How to associate fear with little faith. Chapter 4. Now notice in the same story, but I'm going to read verse 40. Notice what he said here, verse 40. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? Why, how is it that you have no faith? Fearful, being full of fear. So what is a synonym of the word coward? We just saw it. Fear. Fearfulness. How is it that you have no faith? Now, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And I'll give you another example. 2 Timothy 1, 7.
Porque no nos ha dado Dios espíritu de qué? De cobardía.
And to give you who are troubled,
miedo, temor, sino de poder, de amor, y otra vez vuelve a decir qué? Dominio qué? Propio. Dominio propio.
Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding never of the things which they affirm. I'm in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, my apologies. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So this doesn't just apply to a pastor or to a bishop, it applies to everyone. What would you do? Give you this example that just happened. Just a moment, when I arrived here in the afternoon, I entered to my office. I was there, my office. Erica came, gave me some reports, and suddenly we just heard someone screaming there in the street. Jerry, you know what happened? A man in a truck, and he started insulting me, cursing me out, that I cannot repeat, because I had my Trump flag. You would have been scared with the words that he said. And I said, what? I said, yeah, it's fine. Just have a good day. Went back inside. He came back again. He went that way, and then he stopped by here again. Much closer this time. And I said, what's your issue? It's those people who can't explain to. What I'm going to do is start fighting someone who's older than me, very quickly the next day. Pastor fights. Gets into a fight defending Trump. I wasn't defending Trump or anyone. But you see the point that we've reached? Those type of people. But the issue is that there are Christians acting the same as them. What would you have done? Oh, it's because he insulted me. He yelled at me. Well, that man yelled at me. Erica was listening. What are you going to do? The police came just a while ago because, well, if they want to harm the church, well, then there's a record there. But what are you going to do? Get in the same emotions as them? There's a difference between someone comes against you. You have to protect yourself physically. But he was just insulting me with words. What does the Bible say? No word formed against you shall prosper, and you condemn every tongue. So how are you going to react with those type of people? And with many Christians. Are you going to dishonor God? I can assure you that I could just get in a fight just because he was insulting me. Then I'd be dishonoring God. I love my God more than I love myself. You'll find people like that, with people of the world and with Christians. Now, go back to Titus, please. Are you learning something? This is very good. And again, if you want to see more honor of God, Titus chapter 1, where we were at. Glory to God. This is why I told you, you know what? Quickly came to my spirit. We have no militia against flesh and blood. So what are you going to do when a family member comes and starts insulting you? Oh, it's because I pay back what they did to me. Have you heard when Christians say that? Well, where is that in the Bible? Well, that's how I am. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. For there are many insubordinate or rebellious, both idle talkers and deceivers. Now, verse 11. Whose mouths must be stopped, not with fists. The same word of God, would subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not. Now he said this in verse 12. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, he said, Cretans. So what was going on, so you can understand, because he mentioned the Cretans. Paul was writing to Titus. Notice how in verse 5 in the same chapter, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. So Paul writing, he said, even one of them, their own prophet. I don't want to get to controversy here because I don't know. But there's some historic data saying that Paul was referring. Have you heard of Epimetheus referring to this prophet? That by this time he had already passed. Because the world has him as a philosopher, a mathematic, but certain data in the churches also say that he was a prophet of God. But forget about that. Forget I said that. Just forget about it. Paul just saying to Titus, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. So the prophet himself said this about some of those from Crete. With ugly words, but I'm just reading what the Bible says. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Many pastors don't qualify there because they wouldn't be speaking things, they wouldn't bring correction. They wouldn't correct things that have to be corrected. Nowadays, many churches will not correct things because, what is that person going to think? Or what is this other person going to think about me? That's not loving God. That's not giving honor to God. That's just loving you yourself more. Amen. For example, I am not to blame. Just giving an example. What fault do I have? How much their understanding is between this person that was just here, has about the Bible, and why my political convictions is with the Bible. It's not my fault. Mine is just to stay with the Bible. It's not my fault if a person here doesn't understand Bible. And doesn't see things that I see and say. I can show you with the Bible. I can even sit down 2 to 3 hours, give them Bible. The question is, would that person, with what they speak, is it in the Bible? What they believe, is that in the Bible? Where? Again, I couldn't ask him anything because he wouldn't let me speak. But one of my questions was, how many hours do you study the Bible in the day? I can tell you how many I study. Now verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. Now 15, to the pure all things are pure. Who are the pure? People who have discernment of the word. Remember, This is not talking about that you're going to know everything, but you have discernment or understanding of the word. In other words, what you know, you start putting it to work. To all pure things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Again, unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled or corrupt. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Oh, Brother Hughes, people of the world. No, Christians. So it's time that every single one of us, if we say that we are believers, everything that we do, everything that we say, is in line with the Word of God. It's time that we read our Bible. Nowadays, Christians don't read their Bible. It's good to have a Bible like this. I know you're more old. I know I'm more old school, but it's good to have it not just in your phone or in your iPad or in your computer. It's good to have a Bible like this one. Because here you won't get notifications. And you won't get distracted. Although not saying that you shouldn't use the other ones. I use this one, but I have my Bible as well. Amen. Glory to God. So notice this. It's time to start honoring God in what we do. Honor God. Give God honor. It's a very simple question. Do you want to see more honor in your life from God? I believe everyone, correct? Do you want to see more honor? Therefore, start honoring God. Start honoring God with your finances, with your way of behavior. I know God loves you the same. The issue is the testimony that we give. And the problem is that God loves you the same, but look, God does not honor you the same. Honor, as we saw, has to do with a recompense here in the earth. Amen. Honor, you want honor from God. All of us need more honor as children of God. Someone say amen. More honor, what we need. Now, go to Malachi 1. Did you know that Malachi... Although people don't like that name because they always relate it with tithing. But do you know Malachi, from the Greek, it means angelic, because it comes from Malach, which is referring to the angels, which are the messengers. What it means from the Greek, or in Hebrew. So Malachi 1, verse 6. A son honors his father. A son honors his father. And a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? If you read Malachi, the Lord was telling them something. And then it always follows a stupid question from the people. Have you read it? It's just four chapters. And they always say, well, what? They always make it as if they don't know. But their conscience rebukes them. Now, notice in the word priests. That word priests for us in the second covenant has two applications. First one is every single one of us as children of God. Yes, every single one of us as children of God. Don't lose your place there in Malachi. And second, Peter. Apologies. First Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, continuing in Malachi 1:6. Malachi 1:6. To you priests who despise my name. So what is the Lord saying here? We saw on Sunday, all scripture, it's there in YouTube, Word of Faith Ministries, you can see it from Sunday. all scripture. And all scripture, in that time when Paul wrote it, he was speaking about the law, the prophets, what was that? Yeah, and the Psalms. All scripture. Of course, we are under the second covenant. We don't live in the old. But there are examples. There are things that apply to us, which is why this word priests has an application, first of all, to every single one of us as children of God. Second, to the pastors. And to any person who is in the five ministry of helps and anyone who serves in the ministries. Now, let's focus on verse 6. Now, you read it in the part that corresponds to you, and I'll read it in the part that corresponds to me. A son, the Bible says the word here, honors his father, and his servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? No form of a question. Where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Now in 7, you offer defiled food on my altar. Notice. And then they always ask, in what way have we dishonored your name? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? I want you to understand something. When you read in the first covenant or the Old Testament, when the law came, it prohibited them presenting animals with a defect. It's not that God. It's not that how are you going to bring an animal without a leg? Because God is very perfectionist and wanted to eat it whole. No. You know what was going on? He was showing them their hearts. God always sees the heart, the motive. Amen. When you dishonor God, when you have not given honor to Him, why? Who are you afraid of? Criticism? To society? To the people? To your family? So God was speaking here of their hearts. Do you think God was truly interested if they offered Him a ram or a small buck that didn't have an eye? God didn't want it to put up in an auction, or here in the fair where the most best looking animal won a prize. No, it was for their benefit. So then, where is the honor? How do we apply it? Where do you apply it? If you are in the ministry of helps, do you serve with excellence or just so that they don't say anything? Truly, when you come, do you come with a heart to praise God in an anointing to be able to be discipled under the word, or just to go because, well, they cut my Wi-Fi, so I have nothing better to do? That is dishonor to God, when the heart is not complete. And God is our source of healing, but it could be that people don't receive healing because they don't see enough honor from God. Not that God doesn't want to give it to them, He's mad. We limit the power of God. You understand that? Amen. Notice here. Notice. Verse 6. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? The last part of verse 7. By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. What do you find on the table? On a table. When you put a table, what do you associate it with? With meals. Do you think that you're here because the meal is contemptible or isn't good, or is it because you have time, or all those things are what we have to value of what we have. Because it's part of giving honor to God. Amen. part of honoring God. It's part of giving honor to God. Hallelujah. When you see these things, then, any decision that you take from here on out, ask, why am I doing this? Is it because God told me, or is it because I have a necessity? How many of you want to hear the truth? Okay. If you're doing something out of necessity, then there is no faith. You do it because you have a necessity. Where there is necessity, there is no faith. Amen. Where there is need, necessity, there is no faith. Now, don't misunderstand saying that if any one of you has a need, then I don't have faith if I have a need. No. What I'm saying is, if you're doing something, you're doing it because you have a necessity, you have a need, and you reason in the natural saying, oh, well, I mean, I have to work. I have to. Or you prayed, you received direction from God, and you used your faith that God gave you. That God, through that faith, would supply your job or whatever. Or do you think the way that the world thinks? This is not a criticism. I'm just making honest questions to make you meditate, to make you think. What would my grandma say? Your grandma asked you the same? To see if you get some understanding. As to say, to see if you truly reason. It's part of discerning things. To judge something, to analyze. Amen. For example. Now go with me to understand that about necessity or in need. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Let's analyze this. Now, let's see this in a good way. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. Now, focus on this. Have you heard Christians who say, oh, I've been told by many Christians that I know, oh, I go to this church, but I tithe or I give my offerings in this church because that church has more need. When the Bible tells you, that's not the motive to give. Can you see it there? There's a lot of need in the world. And we can help people, but we have to be guided. Because people also need to learn to exercise their own faith. Amen. Remember, dishonor and cowardice. Don't do anything that dishonors God out of cowardice. Perhaps your family, or I don't want to get between you and your family. Don't take it personally. But again, just to make you reason, suppose that you are those believers who has made an effort in the Lord, has been obedient, God has honored you, it has gone good in your businesses and your work. And then a member of your family has need or necessity. And perhaps some of you have been told that, well, you have to help me because you have everything. You see, that's a lie. You don't have to help anyone if you're not directed by God, be it whoever. Thank you. Do you notice what I said? Again, follow me. Let's see if you're following me. When I started, many Christians do things that aren't even in the Bible, or they feel obligated. Look, I've already shared before, one time, I was given a couple tons of tomato. I brought tomato here to church, and it's because, oh, it's an obligation of the pastor. No, understand, it's not my obligation. But I brought it here to give some here, and I still took some because it was 2 tons of tomato. And my son and I'll tell you it easier, but we used a lot of time separating the tomato that was more rotten to give to our chickens and pigs, and I still had too much. So then I was also sharing some potatoes. And I went to McDonald's out there and I parked there. And I don't remember if it was with tomato or tomato or the potatoes. But I said, do you guys want potatoes? They're pop and the potatoes, are you selling? I said, no, I'm giving it away. And she said, oh, well, yeah, I mean, I was very comfortable here sitting. Could you bring it over? And I said, no, if you want some, go out there. Get a bag and go out there. Those people who think, oh, well, now that you're doing something, oh, help me good. Help me out good. My brothers and sisters, never have that mentality. God is your source. It's true, God uses people, but never put your sight on people. And then get mad and say, oh, you should have helped me. No. No, 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 no. That's not of a believer. You're very quiet. Again, don't let culture win you over. Cast it out. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. That culture out. Let the word of God fall on you. Well, and you know what she told me? Another person. All right, and then this one was a man, and he said, hey, filling up the bag. For some reason, I had a hat and I had my work clothes on. But when I took off the glasses, I took off my sunglasses, I took off my hat to clean off some sweat, put it back on. He said, hey, you know, I know you. Oh yeah, you're that pastor that's on First Street, right? On First Street and G Avenue, right? I said, yes, that's correct. He said, oh. And he was grabbing potato. He said, so why are you giving it away? Well, because I want to. And he said, oh. And I said, well, because I want to, glory to God. I want to give a bit of how good God has been with me. The Bible says, share of the grace that you have been given. And he said, no, I know why. I know why. I just told them, but then the wise ones come over, those who know everything. What happens is, because since you're a pastor, you have to help the people. Oh. You have to help those people. And I said, no, I told you why I'm doing this. I almost said, you know what? Put the potatoes back. those ideas of you, they have to, and the government has to help me, and the people have to help me, and the brothers my brothers have to help me, my parents have to help me. Again, another thing of culture. Remember what we just saw in the Word of God. It's very easy to give some verses and then me start speaking on this and you forget what we just saw in our verses. Have you read this? I've heard parents say this, especially in this culture here that we live in. No, well, I'm educating my children. I'm feeding them. So when I'm old, now they take care of me. Have you heard that? Never tell your children that. One day, when I'm old, you take care of me as I've taken care of you. Don't say that if you're a believer. That sometimes doesn't stick with our culture. But how many of you know, as I said, as a pastor, I will not throw away the word. The Bible says, in Isaiah 23:18. No, not that one. No, it's not that verse. Amen. Children do not make a treasure of their parents, but the parents of their children. Now, is it wrong, for example, for a child to help his parents? Of course not. And there's a context to what Paul was saying there. But you know what? We give too much dishonor to God because we let culture win us over because we don't meditate those words. You know, there's a context to this. Let's go there. Was it 1 Corinthians? What was that? 2 Corinthians 12.
Ah, sí, I know. Por eso mismo. 12, gracias.
You.
Versículo 14.
2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Now for the third time, I am ready to come to you. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. This is not saying that a child cannot honor their help their parents. Bible says that the children honor their father and mother, but it's when they make it an obligation out of them, when they say, oh, this is why I'm taking care of you, so when I'm old, you take care of me. No, get that vocabulary out of your mouth. Or is God your source, or is he not your source? Do you truly honor God? Is God truly yours, or who is he? The day that you learn to honor God, and I'm giving you some advice in teaching, the day that you put God first, before family, before children, before businesses, before anything, God will honor you with so much wisdom that you will be able to deal with your family, wife, husband, children, that your children will always want to be with you, or your family will always want to be near you, because God will honor you with wisdom, that when you speak the wisdom of God. But we don't do that. Children are in a bad place. I hear Christians say, well, my children's in the wrong place. Well, I have to support him because he's my kid, and not if he's dishonoring God. Oh, it's because of this. No. You haven't learned to honor God. Why was he saying this? What was Paul trying to say here? Why did Paul speak all of this? This is the third time that I'm coming to you. You want to see a little bit more on this? Amen? No, the rest don't. Then we're almost up. We're about to leave. I was about to teach something good, but no one wants anything. You want to see why? Okay, that then we will. Because remember, the Bible says, he who wants to ignore. If someone doesn't want to know, well then, you don't know. But you have to understand the context of why the Apostle Paul was speaking these things. Now it turns out the brothers and sisters in Corinth were some churches who were a very prideful church, that they thought that because they prophesied and the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowed in them, that they were super spiritual, and they did not like Paul. They did not receive Paul, and they criticized him. And they would speak badly of him. They speak badly of me. If they speak badly of Paul, do you think they speak nicely of me? They criticize me. That's normal. I told someone, that's part of it. I don't pay attention to the criticism. It's part of persecution. There's no issue with me there. I honor God more because God has honored me. The more I honor him, the more I honor my God, the more he honors me. Therefore, when he honors me with many things, including material things, I can honor people whom God tells me to. But if I honor you, remember, I am not your God, neither am I your source. It's because God told me to do so. Therefore, you'll give glory to God. Amen? I don't even need you to give me thanks. Truly. I don't get offended. You'll know that it's from God. That's how this works. So I want you to go there to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Now in the Greek, ignore that word. Well, in Spanish, it says ojalá, which, again, from the Greek, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. Because they thought that God, that Paul was crazy. So what Paul did is he would not receive offerings from them. When Paul went there, some of them wanted to give him money, offerings, and he said no. And they would get offended. Paul did not receive offerings for him. He received offerings if he was going to give that money back to, back to other churches than he would. But they'd get offended. These from Corinthians were very insubordinate, very rebellious people. They would never please him, because if they said, oh, that Paul should work if he didn't receive money. Oh, that Paul should receive Paul should work and do this and that. And they'd criticize what he would speak. And notice this, that you should bear me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with your godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by the craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is Christ. For he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not received, you may well pull up with it. He's saying, oh, this is so good. Oh, this other thing is so good. That's what he's saying. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to those eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Now, it's so nice to... You know who gave Paul this conviction? His relationship with God. You know whom God honored? God. You know who took care of Paul? The Lord. You know what Paul got into issues here? Look at 6. Even though I am untrained in speech, I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. As to say, this church is here because the Lord Jesus Christ used me to establish it with the word that I brought. That's the confidence that Paul had. Notice how other churches were the same. Go to Galatians 4, verse 16. In other words, I'm showing how Paul honored God and he wasn't a coward. And if he had to correct, he would correct. And he did it in love, regardless of what the rest of the churches thought. Galatians 4. What I'm trying to say is, in English, it's yours truly, your servant. We're going to say a word in the ghetto. When I have to correct something, I will correct. Some of you are scared because I didn't do it for a couple of years, which is why you're so surprised. Don't be surprised, because when I have to do it. How many of you came last Thursday? Look, the characteristics. When the characteristics require it, I will do it. All right? Okay. You know why I'm standing here in front of you? For the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why, almost 50 years of age, I don't lack anything? No, I don't steal tithing. On the contrary, I put in money in the work of the Lord. You know why I'm healthy? Praise the Lord. You know why? By the grace of God. For my Lord, and I will honor him and continue to honor. Now, what did I tell you? Galatians 4, verse 16. Now, he said, in a formal question, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I made you your enemy? Have I become therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? Said Paul. Now there, 2 Corinthians, where we were right now. 2 Corinthians, we were in chapter 11. Go to chapter 10. Go back a little bit to chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Verse 8. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction. So as to say, the authority that I have is from God, it's not for your destruction. Not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed. Lest I seem to terrify you by letters. He's trying to say, don't think that I'm writing these letters to say, oh, here comes Paul. He's threatening us that he's going to come and he's going to get us in trouble. No, he's saying, no, don't think that way. Verse 10. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. As you say, Paul wasn't this big, tall, muscular man, according to some historians. And then with all the jail time and then the physical abuse that he took, he wasn't such a handsome man. Nevertheless, he trusted in whom was inside of him. That's our confidence, not in how we look. Aren't you thankful with the Lord? And his speech contemptible. They didn't take his words. Now, I haven't been trying to teach this up until to have that green light here, but it's very interesting studying the life of the Apostle Paul and looking at the light of the Bible and some historical information. It encourages you to continue in this perverse world. It encourages you to go forward, to go ahead in our convictions in honoring God and not falling back. Because from here on out, you're gonna deal with a lot of people who will not take the word. People who will get cold. Other things will be more interesting for them. They'll think like the world. They will not use their faith to change circumstances. Oh, it's because of my job. It's because of this. Well, why not change? Why not pray? Why don't you let God give you the best job? Where not only God will supply, but you will also have time to serve Him. That's what a man and a woman of faith. A man and a woman of faith are not molded to the circumstances. Perhaps those circumstances will not change from one day to the other, but eventually they will. Amen. And this, from here on out, you will have one of the things of walking by faith. When I started teaching faith years ago, many of you were here when I taught that. My focus was healing, prosperity, and that's fine. It's part of it. But now, add another focus onto it. Another one. Finishing your career in the Lord and not being cold or in the world. Finishing your career in the Lord, continuing with a good testimony as a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a believer in Christ. That will be my testimony always. Amen. I will honor God till the day I die. Amen. Hallelujah. And the days that you live here, a long life, all of that, I believe in all of that. Well, that long life, prepare yourself because persecution will come. Hallelujah. Persecution will come. You want to live a long life? Life won't be easy out there. They'll pursue you. They'll criticize you. They'll curse you. They'll make fun of you. They'll question your faith. They'll tell you that it's too much church. That are you crazy for wasting your time on that? Why do you give your money? It's not your money. God gave it to you. And it's true. God gave it to you. But if Jesus is your Lord, then in that moment, you also become an administrator. Amen. Hallelujah. And you will have to spend a lot of time in the Bible. This is why I show you line by line, sentence by sentence, verse by verse, where you can arrive at home, meditate on them, see them again, put them in your heart, write them down, read them one after another, after another, after another, and after another time. Amen. And you'll have to decide if you're going to be those Christians defective Christians, or are you going to grow in your relationship with God? Which one of them are you going to be? Remember one time I told you, my pastor who was in heaven told me, money has an ugly face. Trying to say what that is, you give money to a Christian who's cold, anemic, who is flirting with the world, you'll send them farther into hell. Amen. Which is why prosperity has to be biblical prosperity. Not that prosperity that the world preaches of cars and houses, which is included in it, but there's a difference. Because if not, many are preaching materialism. Therefore, they're believing God for something. And if it doesn't happen the way that they wanted it, quickly they get discouraged. Amen. But don't be one of those. I said, don't be one of those. And I'll start closing with this. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God. He has been so good. Now, last time, we saw in Habakkuk, how many of you remember? Chapter 3. I know that some things that I say, some of you might think, oh, well, I'm going to believe in prosperity or not. What am I believing in? 3. The last chapter, Habakkuk 3. I don't know. I see these things in verse 17, yeah. It's the last three verses. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no food, and the flock may be cut off from the fold, and yet be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on the high hills. Not saying that you won't believe in things, but if those things are not manifested, regardless of what you're believing in, if it doesn't come to pass, what does it say? Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Yet in all, I will rejoice in the Lord. While you're in that moment, another thing that happens is many Christians lose their joy. Something happens and their joy falls. There's no joy. Because things don't happen. Examine yourself. You have the Holy Spirit. Assure yourself that everything that you know how to do, give honor to God. Give honor. Always honor God. Before flesh and blood, honor God. Honor Him. God will give you the wisdom to honor flesh and blood. To honor family, children, wife, husband. But give Him the time. Sometimes my family has told me, you know, I was going to call you, but I saw that it was already Tuesday and it was already 6:30. And I said, oh, he's going to be in church. You see, they respect my time. Why? Because I taught them. I give honor to God. And God will honor you. A while after that, then I'll tend to them. Amen. Glory to God. If you learn to honor God, learn to honor God with what He gives you. And I'll close with this. Proverbs 3:8. Glory to God. Stand on your feet with me.
It's a good thing I came today. So much more to learn. There's quite a few things to say.
Gracias, Señor.
Thank you, Lord.
Gracias, Señor.
Thank you, Lord.
Gracias, Señor.
Thank you, Lord.
Gózate cuando no hay motivo aparente.
Rejoice when there is no apparent motive in the natural. Amen. Rejoice when there is no apparent motive in the natural, when it seems like nothing is happening. Joy comes from what you know. When you know who you are in Christ, that's joy. No matter how difficult the circumstances are, you say, thank you, God, glory to God, and use your authority. And if you have to cast out the devil, do it. If you cast out negative information, do it. And don't fill yourself up again. And there's Christians who cast it out, but then they go back to it. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you honor, all worship. Lord, in faith, we believe that we'll honor you more and that we receive the honor that comes from you. You said, I will honor those who honor me. We give thanks for it, and we worship you, and we glorify you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for the Spirit of God. We honor you. We honor you. We glorify you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your truth, Lord. Thank you for your truth. We worship you. We worship you. Lord, we're going to receive our offerings. Believe God. Don't speak how the world does. Amen. The Lord will take care of us. He always takes care of us. We don't want this country or other countries to get worse. And even so, the Lord will always take care of us and honor us. Because the Bible says that when we give with joy, faith, we will receive. And if the Bible says it, I believe it. And if someone out there doesn't believe it, it's in the Bible. And I tell you, if you're generous and you give with a heart, and not just because of giving, but if you're honest before the Lord and believe Him, He will provide seed to that one who sows. But if you go and say, Lord, you give seed to those who sow, many, many years, exactly 23 years ago, as I made that prayer, I did a prayer in faith where it says, Lord, it says here that you give that one who bread to that one who eats. I need seed because I know that bread is coming, but I need seed. I believe it, I have it, and I believe I receive it. In Jesus' name, that's all I said. But would you believe, I know you would because you're a believer, believe that 23 years ago, I have always had seed to sow. It has nothing to do with these lies that some Christians spread out. Are you going to give if you don't have? How are you not going to have? Because God is the provider of seed. That's when people think that they are their own provider. So I come in agreement, Lord. I come in agreement with those here at home, those who see us, that you provide, and that if any of them want them to become partners of Word of Faith Ministries, some of them here or in other countries, you make it known that they will give with joy, rejoicing because you love a joyful giver, and you will provide that seed. I give you thanks, and I ask for it in the name of Jesus Christ, in that spirit of faith. And thank you, Lord, because we're going to give with that same love and faith, and we receive a harvest, and we are not ashamed in your word. Your word says that all who believes will not be ashamed. We are not ashamed. Hallelujah. I believe it. Do you believe it? I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.